A dozen. Mission.
You're listening to This Week in Radio News. Radio news about radio waves, radio art, and more. I'm Tom Rowe, your host, and we'll travel across the ether to hear what's going on in radio news. This is Tom Rowe from the Wave Farm Studios in Akron, New York. This week we are tuning into David Bowie and David Bowie's radio songs and songs about transmission. That was TVC15 from Station to Station to start off this week in radio news. Now the radio headline. The Federal Communications Commission just released its latest broadband status report, and it says 34 million Americans, or about 10% of the country, quote, still lack access to fixed broadband at the FCC's benchmark speed of 25 megabits per second for downloads and 3 megabits per second for uploads, unquote. If there is broadband available in the U.S., usually there is only one choice, as two-thirds of the country has only one choice for a broadband provider. That ranks the U.S. 16th out of the top 34 developed countries on the planet in terms of broadband availability, a very average score. Recently, the FCC has taken some action, reclassifying ISPs under Title II, passing new net neutrality rules, and improving middle-mile network funding and redefining broadband as something 25 megabits per second or faster. Carl Bode has a complete examination of the report at TechDirt. On January 12th, the U.S. House Communications and Technology Committee considered the Amateur Radio Parity Act of 2015, the first time the committee has moved it along in this session. A similar bill that would supersede local private land use restrictions and regulations from applying to amateur service communications died in previous congressional sessions. This time, 117 representatives have co-sponsored the bill. Greg Walden, the chairman of the committee, spoke glowingly of the bill.
We will examine H.R. 1301. This is the Amateur Radio Parity Act of 2015. As a ham radio operator, and perhaps one of the only in Congress, I'm acutely aware of the passion that amateur radio operators have for their service. Despite its widespread use and importance in times of emergency, some land use restrictions in some areas have prioritized aesthetics over the rights of hams. H.R. 1301 seeks to ensure that amateur radio operators get a fair shake and protection from unnecessary bans on their equipment by instructing the FCC to adopt rules to this end. Now, I know some have said this is opening the door to 40-foot towers in townhome backyards. That's not the case. Ham equipment can be as small as over-the-air digital television antenna that are becoming popular with cord cutters. Surely ham radio operators' communications deserve no less protection than access to primetime television. This is a common-sense bill, and I urge my colleagues to support it.
But during the January 12th hearing, it was clear the bill is a battle between the weak amateur radio lobby and the more powerful homeowners lobby. Ranking member Anna Escho, Democrat from California, expressed her skepticism about the bill.
Well, I've been a longtime supporter of amateur radio operators, including you, Mr. Chairman, and the services that they provide, and I have a lot in my district. I do have some concerns with the Amateur Radio Parity Act. As written, the legislation could violate the rights of homeowners associations, and that's who I've heard from. So I think, again, we've got to take a look at this and make sure that we can blend the underlying purpose of this and not stick it to the homeowners associations, the HOAs in the country, by overruling covenants and easements that are conveyed with the purchase of a property from one seller to another.
David Oxenford in the Broadcast Law blog reports that the Federal Communications Commission may soon require all radio, cable, and satellite broadcasters to keep their public files online. Currently, all broadcasters must keep a file available for public inspection of documents related to the broadcaster's license and responsibilities as a user of the public airwaves. But because many broadcast corporations don't value transparency, they have lobbied successfully to keep that public file offline only until now. On January 28th, at the FCC's monthly meeting, the board will consider a proposal to require broadcasters to keep their public files online too. Last week, jazz pianist Paul Bley and classical composer Pierre Boulez both died. And if you live in New York City, one could have tuned into WKCR-FM 89.9 for long-duration tributes full of their music, plus knowledgeable stories from disc jockeys, historic interviews, and other special sounds. Outside of New York, though, WKCR was silent too, as its web stream also went dead. Columbia University runs the station, and they told the New York Times that, quote, the problem was not the cost of royalties, but contractual terms with the station's provider, and that negotiations were underway, unquote. Radio stations pay Sound Exchange, a nonprofit agency that administers licensing for record companies for rights to play songs. But record companies do not want radio stations to play an entire album of any artist's work in case someone somewhere is recording that album and not purchasing it. The New York Times article is not clear about whether WKCR stopped streaming because of issues with Sound Exchange or issues with Columbia University. The story does make clear that a related issue, the recent commercial radio licensing rates announced by the Copyright Royalty Board, are not the source of the problem with WKCR's internet stream. That decision affected Pandora, Live 365, and iHeartMedia, with Live 365 laying off nearly their entire staff. Tim Cushing at TechDirt reports that New York Assemblyman Matthew Titone, a Democrat from Staten Island, introduced a bill this week that bans the sale of smartphones that can't be cracked by manufacturers. This anti-encryption legislation would, presumably, ban most cell phones from being sold in New York State. Most phones contain many parts that are encrypted, such as apps that allow monetary transaction. Consumer payments are safe online because of encryption. Titone originally introduced this bill last year and reintroduced the legislation this week as the New York State Capitol reopened for business. TechDirt says they believe this is the first proposal of its kind in the United States. Quote, Apple stores would apparently be unable to sell any smartphones and every service provider would have to eliminate any phones with default encryption from their lineups, unquote, Cushing writes. Encryption only makes certain transactions or conversations private. Read the full story at TechDirt.
Dantella.
That was DJ from David Bowie from Lodger. Next up, we'll hear an interview with David Bowie at the height of his popularity after his Let's Dance album had come out. His Sirius Moonlight tour was his biggest tour in 1983. He went on music television. MTV at the time was the new force playing music videos, and he called them out on their lack of playing black artists on the air. Let's hear David Bowie turned the interview tables on MTV VJ Mark Goodman in this interview from long ago from David Bowie on This Week in Radio News.
I'd like to ask you something. It occurred to me, having watched MTV over the last few months, that it's a solid enterprise with it, and it's got a lot going for it. I'm just floored by the fact that there's so few black artists featured on it. Why is that?
I think that we're trying to move in that direction. We want to play artists that seem to be doing music that fits into what we want to play for MTV. The company is thinking in terms of narrow casting.
That's evident. It's evident in the fact that the only few black artists that one does see are on about 2:30 in the morning or to around 6. Very few are featured predominantly during the day. I'll say that over the last couple of weeks these things have been changing, but it's a slow process.
I know, it's funny, I think people have different perceptions. When you wind up watching, let's say you watch an hour or two, or even three a day, people somehow come away with different ideas about what we are doing. We don't have any kind of day-parting for anything, let alone a black artist day-parted out of what would be, quote, prime time. We don't have that.
Because one sees a lot there's one black station on television that I keep picking up. I'm not sure which station it's on, but there seem to be a lot of black artists making very good videos that I'm surprised aren't used on MTV.
Well, of course, also we have to try and do what we think not only New York and Los Angeles will appreciate, but also Poughkeepsie or Midwest. Pick some town in the Midwest that will be scared to death by Prince, which we're playing. Or a string of other black faces.
That's
and black
very
music.
Interesting. Isn't that interesting?
You know, we have to play the music that we think an entire country is going to like. And certainly, we're a rock and roll station now. The question would be asked: well, should since we're in New York, should PLJ play, the Isley Brothers? Well, you and I might say, yeah, because we have grown up in an era when the Isley Brothers mean something to me, and so do the Spinners, even way after the Isley Brothers. But what does it mean to a 17-year-old? Well, if you talk on the phones to these guys like I did when I was in radio, it's
well,
scary.
I'll tell you what it means. I'll tell you what maybe the Isley Brothers or Marvin Gaye means to a black 17-year-old.
Ah.
And surely he's part of America as well.
No question. And that's why you're seeing those things.
Do you not find that it's a frightening predicament to be in?
Yeah, but less so here than in radio.
And is it not, well, no, don't say, well, it's not me, it's them. Is it not possible that it should be a conviction of the station and of other radio stations, to be fair? It does seem to be rampant through American media. Should it not be a challenge to try and make the media far more integrated in music,
happening.
Especially of anything in musical terms?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, I think it's happening because white music and white musicians are now starting to play more than ever, more than they have lately, let's say, in the last 10 years, what black artists have been into. Mm-hmm. And now, hopefully, the lines are going to start to blur. And when we play a band like ABC, well, there's white and black kids who are enjoying it. And all of a sudden, well, it's a little bit easier for a white kid to understand it. The fact is, quite frankly, I could even point you towards a letter in the new issue of The Record, the magazine The Record, responding to an article by Dave Marsh, that this kid just ranted about what he didn't want to see on MTV.
Well, that's his problem.
And in no uncertain terms, well, what I'm saying, though, is that there's, as you say, there's certainly a lot of black kids and white kids who may want to see black music. Mm. There's a ton of them who are, it's not like it was in 67 where you say, yeah, I'm not into that, you know, but you are. Yeah. Now it's, you're into that, I don't like you. And that's scary, and we can't just turn around and go, well, look, this is the right way. We can only teach, I think, a little bit at a time.
Interesting. Okay, thank you very much.
Does that make sense? Valid point?
I understand your point of view.
Okay.
Everybody, this has been
the one of the greatest tours of our life. We really, I'd like to thank the band. I'd like to thank our road crew, and I'd like to thank our lighting people. Of all the shows on this tour, this particular show will remain with us the longest, because not only is it the last show of the tour, but it's the last show that we'll ever do. Thank you.
Preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.